Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
What do they call moving day in golf?
Yeah, moving day.
The Saturday of the
right.
tournament.
Yeah. Before you, the guys that make the cut, then everybody tries to rally to the top of the leaderboard, so they're playing in the last five twosomes.
And that is, if you want to put it into numbers, that's your three-quarter pool.
Well, and
we're
by
not
the way,
there yet.
We'll talk more about that in our new podcast, 100% Golf.
No, but we're not there yet to the three-quarter pool, but the games are certainly important. Darren Millard, John Channel, 100% Hockey. Last night, Washington with a significant win. The Rangers, Montreal, the Flyers, and Sabres. And we're in January, and I'm looking at it going, those are big wins.
It almost makes you wonder, and I know that the Four Nations is going to be exciting, but don't you just want the regular season to continue? Seriously, the races are spectacular. And by the way, there are people in Montreal and Ottawa that want the regular season over today. Because at this point, Montreal and Ottawa are in the two wild card spots in the East. So
I wasn't sure we'd see that this year.
Wow. We thought coming into this season, Detroit needed to be better. Ottawa needed to be better. Buffalo needed to be better. And one of those three teams might challenge. No one put Montreal on that list. And Montreal has put themselves on that list with some pretty impressive stories from that team. Samuel Montembeau was really good last night against John Cooper and his Team Canada coach. You know, so he was, they have become really fun to watch. Montreal has. And particularly at home, where that fan base appreciates everything they've done. The other night when Jakub Dobish made a save in overtime, the standing ovation during the game, oh, man, that was fun.
I would argue that they've always been fun to watch. It was just for which side, because they would get a little loose. And now they've dialed in some structure to their game. But Rangers are back in this thing, too.
Absolutely. You know, and how about Igor Shesterkin taking a run at Brady Tkachuk?
Brady's busy.
Yeah. I mean, it never hurts the game of hockey when the New York Rangers are competitive. It doesn't. Let's face it. They're a good story. 3 weeks ago, the story was a soap opera. Now they've been able to turn things around. Some of their big players are playing better. Zibanejad's playing better. Kreider's playing better. Lafreniere's playing better. I mean, do you have any doubt that the Rangers are making the playoffs now, Darren?
No, but 3 weeks ago, I would have said Vancouver would be the team that would have turned it around sooner than the New York Rangers, of the two teams that had all the drama.
By the way, Vancouver should only play on Saturdays, because the last two Saturdays they played very well in Toronto in shutting out the Maple Leafs, and then last Saturday was the Oilers in town, and the Canucks played, I think, their best game in a long period of time as well. And so I think the Canucks should only play Saturdays. Last night and beat them. So
what do you think of the Oilers' press release about Connor? Being suspended.
I wouldn't have done it, but you know, they're talking to a passionate. I mean, who did they do it for? That is the question. Who did they do it for?
Connor.
I mean, do you think Gary paid attention to it? I don't think Gary paid attention to it. The officials wouldn't have paid attention to it. I don't think player safety, you know, player safety has to do their job. They did it for their fans. They did it for their fans to say, we're on your side, you know, and we're ticked off. So
I think they should have just owned what Connor did. And
by the way,
doubled down on it. And you mess with a bull, you're going to get his horns.
You don't hear Connor bitching about this. Connor knows he made a mistake. Connor knows he made a mistake. Right. You know, and what we're really doing in the Connor situation is I think most of us thought it would be two games. They gave him three games. So we're arguing about one game. We're arguing about a single game now from what we thought the suspension would be to what the suspension is. So I that to me is the only issue with me. But, you know, the Oilers, you know, said to their fans, we understand your pain and we're ticked off too. So that's it.
Darren Pang has just joined the green room. He's said he's grabbing water. By the way, nice refreshments and snacks in the green room. 100% hockey has taken it up a notch.
Huge budget. We got a huge budget.
Yeah. Like the licorice things, well done on that.
Excuse me. They're called Twizzlers, okay? Twizzlers. It's official brand name. We're going to get their sponsorship too.
I'm not giving away anything for free. But Panger's here, and he's one of the greatest, isn't he?
I've known Darren a long time, so we have had a lot of fun. We've played lots of golf together. He's a bit better than me. No, he's a lot better than me, and we've laughed a lot. So I always have a good time with Darren Pang.
Could I have a match with Panger? Because you and I have played golf.
Yeah, you could carry his bag.
Wouldn't be a bad thing. It'd be highly entertaining. We'll come back with Darren Robert Pang on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. All right, take a deep breath and exhale slowly because we got some high energy coming in now. Here he is.
Hold on. Are you suggesting I'm not high energy?
With different type of energy.
Oh. Usually mine's negative energy, right?
Well, no. But you're just not like...
I'm not Darren Pang is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I talk to Panger every now and then. We text each other, but I'm watching this game the other night and it's our broadcast. We're playing Chicago and all of a sudden the puck goes in between the benches and Panger's making saves. And then you're looking around for somebody to toss the puck to, and you're such a wonderful human being.
Darren, you guys are too kind, And I didn't realize that I'm so high octane. You know, it's funny you say that, but Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues on the radio side, said that I make coffee nervous.
Were you always like this? Were you when you were playing for Brian Kilray? Were you a chattery like this too?
Pretty much so. Killer likes to tell the story of the day that I was traded from the Belleville Bulls. Larry Mavity brought me into his home and said, I just traded you, which I wasn't surprised by. I'd given up 7 against Sudbury the night before, and walking off the ice, he told me that that's the last game I'm ever going to play for him. So I knew it was inevitable. And then he asked me if the Windsor Spitfires would be a good team for me. I said, no, not at all. Don't send me there. He goes, don't worry, kid. I sent you to the Ottawa 67s. And so tell a long story short, I ended up on getting driven from Belleville to Kingston, playing my first game. And Killer likes to tell the story about how right away I was in the back of the bus and with all the boys, like I'd been there for a couple of years. And he said, all he could hear was me laughing and cackling and having such a good time. So I would say that my energy level has always been really high, but I'm going to tell you, when I empty the tank, I can shut her down in 3 minutes and I can be sound asleep. And the batteries just get it, you know, they're done. And that's when they're done. And so, that's the way I've always been as well. I go hard.
No Red Bull or no coffee during a game?
Yeah. You know what? A little bit too much, actually. Not Red Bull. not Red Bull, but you know, if I'm doing, let's say I'm doing a playoffs, you know, one time I think I did 11 games in 11 nights or 11 and 12, one run and 5 hour energy. All the trainers knew it. It was hilarious. I'd go to my spot between the benches, John and Darren, and I'd be like 5 hour energy right there with a bottle of water. And they all knew what I wanted, which was quite amazing. But that 5 hour energy, man, that can give you a little bit of a jolt. And sometimes, for me, even our producers will say, no more energy for you, because then I don't make sense. I talk too fast, and then I'm, and not that I make sense anyway, but I talk too fast, and then I can't get my sentences right. And John, you've been in the truck probably, well, Olympics, I guess, would be the only time you've been in the truck with me, huh? And I wasn't the main analyst, because JD was. I was just between the benches on both those situations. So, but anyway.
When Artemi Panarin was sampling your drink at the garden,
Yeah.
that was 5 hour energy.
No, that was just Gatorade.
Oh.
That was just Gatorade. And funny thing is, when we did that was I think that was St. Paddy's Day the first time. And I had a oh man, I had a little geez, I had the Irish hat, I had the beard, and I pop up from the bench, and the guys on the bench were just howling. And it wasn't during the play, as you know. It was just we were coming out of commercial break, so I took it off right away. But I had the green Gatorade mix beside me, and so it didn't have any label on it. So when Panarin grabbed it, it was in a cup, a clear cup,
Right.
and so he literally reached over and grabbed it, and then he got an assist. And then so now he's having a good time. Then he reached over again, and he had a goal. So now he's got a goal and assist. And Joel Whalen, our producer, was just loving this. And they that POV that's behind me on the bench on the TNT games. Joe was brilliant with that thing. It was always recording, John, 100% recording from the warm up all the way on. So all of a sudden now we had a compilation of all these times that Panarin was reaching in. And the one time he reached in at the end of the game, he leans into me and he goes, "Next time, put something a little stronger in there." So we did it, it happened again, and he got another goal. So it was kind of, it was kind of fun to see Panarin's personality. A lot of people told me that they didn't know that he was that, that kind of character. And I had a lot of fun with that. And he is. That's kind of the way he is. He's a really fun human being to be around.
What's the line for you for interacting with players when you're between the benches?
Actually, I don't lean into them very often, Darren, because I know that that's their space. A lot of times they initiate conversations, whether it would be, was that tipped in? What happened? Just little things that happen in game, because they know I've got the monitor there. I've also got the SMT technology there. So for those that don't know what that is, the players all have the chip in their sweater, so we can tell if that slap shot was 92 miles an hour or if that shift was 1 minute and 48 seconds. And so a lot of the players will like to look at it to see what their ice time is. And that's the funniest part, because they'll look at the ice time and they'll shake their head and they'll kind of maybe they'll point at the coach or something. They'll look at me and I'm like, "Hey, sorry, pal. I don't make those decisions." But the other part, the other night, I did have a situation which was really neat, because Colton Dock was playing his first NHL game against Montreal. Kirby Dock, his brother, was always goes to the end on, so in the first and third, the forwards are right beside me. So Kirby's right there beside me. He always comes to the end, and he ends up actually kind of knocking on the glass, and he's kind of yelling that his brother went down easy, I guess he thought. It's his first NHL game. I mean, I thought that maybe he'd give his brother a break. And it was kind of funny, because he says, "Tell him to stay on his feet." Like, "Tell him to stay on his feet. Went down too easy." I said, so he reaches in and he says it again. So now that the two benches are going back and forth, and it's Kirby talking about his brother Colton. Well, anyway, then we were about to show a picture because Colton's dad came to the game, and I didn't know who was with Colton's dad. So Kirby sees that we're in a commercial break and we're going to show this. So I did lean into him, Darren, to answer your question. I leaned into him and I kind of knocked on it. I said, "Who's with your dad?" And he goes, "Oh, that's Colton's girlfriend." So I said, so he went and sat down again, and I knocked again, and I'm like, "What's your name?" And so he gave me her, so because you don't want to show, and there's Colton's girlfriend, and not knowing the name. I knew the dad's name, so I'm like, so he leaned in again, and now I can't remember what her name. Anyway, so he tells me her name. So Rick Ball's up in the, obviously up in the booth. I'm between the benches, and he goes, "Did you just ask Kirby Doc what Colton's girlfriend's name is. I go, yeah. And he goes, man, you are really reporting down there tonight. So, you know, there's sometimes where the games go like that, where you get a group of guys that are talkative. They know you better, and they're not afraid to lean in. Zach Werenski recently, I thought this was really cool. He just kind of, during the play, he leaned in and he just asked how things were going. And he knows I live in Michigan in the summertime, asked how my golf game's going. And I was kind of thinking that's exactly the way he is on the ice. Calm, cool, collected, like nothing would faze this guy. And then it was a great example of that. So, but I realized that when the game's on the line, that's their space. I don't report on everything that goes on that bench. That's also their space. And I'm privileged to be there. I've told other broadcasters, this is an honor to be there, and make sure you use your head and filter out what's right and what's wrong. And so I just like to use things that sell the game or sell the personalities. And I think we do a good job of that. But I also think, John, and you're there and you saw the beginnings of it. I think it has taken away a little bit of the animosity as well. You know, there's always a camera, there's always a microphone. I think guys want to say a little bit more, and they used to say a little bit more, but I think they're a little bit more careful now, just in case that gets caught and they say something that's not right, maybe not politically correct, and they, you know. I think so anyway. I think a little bit.
So can you imagine now if somebody walked in and said, by the way, we're never allowing announcer between the benches again, would you throw a
Oh,
fit? Would you throw a fit? Because you if
I'd
you
be
choose
good.
if you had to choose
Yeah.
between the benches or being beside Rick or beside Brendan, you'd choose the bench, right?
I would, yeah. I would always choose the bench. So I'd be really disappointed. I'd put up a hard fight. And you've seen this little fella not happy before, John.
Yes, I am.
Okay, were you guys the first two that did it? Like,
The first time it happened was in Japan, wasn't even on this continent, was in Japan at the 1998 Olympic Winter Games in
that's right.
Nagano. And Darren was there for CBS, and I was in charge of the venue for the host broadcaster. So we made it happen.
So, how's it different now compared to that foray, Banger?
Well, I got to tell you that situation was the best I've ever had it in
Oh.
Japan, in
Well, no
Nagano,
glass
because
at all. There was no glass between the
there was
benches.
nothing. There was
No.
nothing. I mean, I literally could have opened the door. I mean, when they were announcing, when Mark Crawford was announcing the shootout selection, I relayed it on the air. JD, sent it down there. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was Nieuwendyk.
Bork, Shanahan,
Ray
Nieuwendyk.
Bork. And I'm like, Theo Fleury. Hold on, JD. Eric Lindros, Brendan Shanahan. And that's how close I was. And Wayne was right beside me with his head down. Like, I mean,
Yes.
so it was amazing. I mean, the access to that was far superior than what we have it now. And it's pretty darn good. It was better before COVID, and now they've got this pony wall. And so it's not
Explain what
as
that is. I know what it is,
intricate.
but
There's 18 inches, or that's the rule anyway. Some are a little further back. There's maybe a couple that are closer. Anyway, 18 inches from the boards, there's another wall. So there's an opening of 18 inches, and we are behind there.
yeah.
So,
So you can't be right on the boards looking over.
not right on the boards, Darren. And a lot of times, my monitor's actually right between the two. I know in Chicago, we've got a great setup. I've actually got a telestrator there as well between the benches, but it's between that the boards and the pony wall. The difficulty of it is, and in fact, I hurt my, and not that it's a big deal, but I got a fake knee, had it reconstructed about 9 years ago. And in Chicago, I've got to jump. I got to get on the boards, and then I got to jump over the pony wall and land into my spot. There's no door that accesses it on either side. And so it's, there's a couple of buildings like that are really difficult, especially if you're doing a between, an in-game interview with the coach. So anyway, there's some
Well,
that are more challenging than others, I'll tell you that.
you have a lot of pull in Chicago. Phone Mr. Wirtz and say, Danny boy,
Danny boy.
I need a door. I need a door right here.
Well, as a matter of fact, John, I'm having dinner with him tonight. So that's a great plan. Danny's taking me to one of his favorite Italian restaurants. So probably have a little glass of red, and some chicken parm, maybe.
So the one thing about the position, because I was at the league when we started to use it a lot more. I mean, heck, I remember one night we did a game in Buffalo for the league that Chris Cuthbert was there with TSN at the point. They did both the play-by-play and the color man between the benches. Not sure it
Wow.
worked that well. But
Tough
you
one.
can't see either near corner. You can't.
Nope.
Because that's one of
Nope.
the coaches complain that they can't see the near corner either. So you
You
can
know,
certainly can't.
yeah, the trainers can't see. And
No.
I think one of the discussions, I believe, as COVID came and went, and the reason the pony wall was there, I think you do have a lot of, and sometimes we were using two analysts for two different networks
Yeah.
between the benches, which has stopped. I mean, I have not had another analyst with me since that time. But I know a lot of trainers like it when I'm there because I'm so small. But if there's a really big person that and we didn't have the pony wall and the analyst was leaning in, the trainers complained. I think they did because they can't see the near side if somebody was hurt or whatever. I look right away. Most of the arenas have I mean, phenomenal. Do we call them jumbotrons or videotrons or how do you know
Video
a tron?
board, video
Okay.
board, video.
So,
Jumbotron's a Sony product.
oh, okay. Yeah, good work, bud. And so it's like Kleenex, right?
Yeah,
Kleenex.
exactly.
Like a Zamboni's going around the ice right now, So
No, it's
you're
an
grown
ice
up, man.
cleaner. It's an ice
Let me see.
cleaner.
It could be an Olympia.
It could be an Olympia.
No, it's a Zamboni. I can see it right now. But I'll just look up quickly if it's in the corner, up to the, because it's, I mean, it's as good as looking at it live anyway. So I take a quick glance up, then I'm back down at ice level again. Yeah.
By the
But
way, how
there are
appropriate
parts you don't see. You're right.
how appropriate at your practice arena in Chicago that is a Zamboni. After all,
Hold on.
Frank Zamboni invented the Zamboni for the Ice Capades, which were owned by the Wirtz family and Sonia Henie in Chicago. So there you go. Another history lesson.
And the Wirtzes still have the Sonia Henning room, always.
Is
They
that right?
had it in the Chicago Stadium. It was a private room for the family, and it's all decorated with all Sonia Henning pictures. And now they still have it in the United Center. All you see is it's on the first level concourse, and it's a silver door. That's it. And then there's no entrance way. It doesn't say anything, and that's where you'll find the Wirtz family. So every once in a while, I peek in there after a game and get
Well,
myself a nice old fashioned, something that Rocky Wirtz would have, because Rocky's bar is now right beside the Sonia Henning room. It's called Rocky's Bar, and it's got his old cuff links. It's got pictures of Rocky Wirtz with his dad and his grandfather, Arthur. And so after every game, I go into one or the other, and I literally have a old fashioned on behalf of Rocky, because he's got his own specialty old fashioned, and it's his favorite. So I always have that afterwards, because I know he'd like that. He was the one that got me here, brought me back, got me full circle, and I'm very much appreciative of that.
didn't somebody tell you not to name drop?
Yeah, Robert De Niro did, but I talked to Gret I talked to Gretz about it, and Gretz said it was okay if I did that. So
Oh,
you got
unbelievable. You
good setup.
too.
Good setup, Mally. Good work. Good work, kid. Good
So
assist.
speaking of name dropping, how's Connor Bedard doing?
He's doing good, really well. In fact, every facet of his game is, for me, improved. Every part of it. Yeah, he went through a dry spell, and I think a lot of people were kind of concerned and wow, what's going on? I give him a lot of credit, man. This kid works at his game. I'm surprised he's still not on the ice. Half the time the Zamboni's out here, and he ends up still being on the ice. So I'll explain as best I can from what I've seen of the areas that he's really improved on. As a distributor, I think he's using his line mates a lot more. He's not a one trick pony. Anybody that thinks he just has this shot is wrong. He's made some unbelievable passes. I think he's doing a much better job of giving goes. I think it's one area that, in fact, I'll name drop again, but in talking, Wayne Gretzky watches. He watches so many games, and it's not like he says, "Hey, he should do this or he should do that." But there are certain times where Wayne will just kind of say something to me that I know what he's saying, and it's like, sometimes the puck moves a lot faster than you do, And I knew that, if you're playing a hard back checking team, you got to move the puck a little bit quicker, and then you have a little give and go game, and you're going to look a lot faster. So in saying that, I will say that his give and go game has been much improved, and his tenacity on pucks. He's winning stick battles, his face-offs. He works really, really hard. Remember Yannick Perreault? I mean, he was one of the really
Yeah,
good face-off
sure.
men, the old wooden stick that he used. He's actually on the and his son, obviously, Team USA. What a great player he is, Gabe. But he works with the team. So does Chris Kunitz, and they'll come. They're not here all the time. But you can see when they put the work in on the face-offs, and Brian Kern as well is our skills guy, and he they're the same way. So they're working on the face-offs, working getting lower, working getting his head over the dots, hovering, kind of I like to say, covering the golf ball if you're a golf fanatic, not fading away from the ball when you're setting up, get over the ball a little bit more, and I think he's doing, again, he's doing a better job of that. So those are the areas that I think fans see it as well, and he's had a really good run here. Really good run. I mean, he's got over 100 points as a teenager. I mean, he's the fastest teenager since I think Sidney Crosby to get 100 points. So, I mean, I think he's doing a really good job. And he's with now with Tyler Bertuzzi, and they've been really, really good together. So that's matched up pretty well. Maybe they got something there. Tyler signed a 4-year deal. And, if you've got some chemistry, coach is going to leave you there. And the minute it falls off, that's where, you get another line mate, but so far they've been really solid together.
Remind me to loop back to Tyler because he's doing something that I think is going to catch on around the league. I've seen little snips of it, but what's Connor doing better as a sophomore than you saw when he came in as the number one overall pick? Where's there been some growth?
I think for me it's a tenaciousness. It's going into a corner and coming out with a puck instead of going into a corner and looping around, or being hopeful and wishful, if that's the right way to describe it. I mean, listen, last year he was an 18-year-old kid. He played junior hockey with Regina. They didn't have winning seasons. He could do whatever he wanted to do. And I'm sure John Paddock, his coach, would say the same thing. I mean, we kept him on the ice for 2 minutes. He was on the ice for 2 minutes. If we're down by two, he stays on the ice. But, here you get exposed if you play cheating hockey. We know that. I mean, once out of 10, twice out of 10, maybe you knock a puck out of midair. Maybe the puck squirts loose because you're cheating on the offensive side of it. But now I think his positioning in the defensive zone is so much better. And I think Anders Sorensen has really worked hard and not delicately. I think he's done a great job of stopping practice and saying, no, stop there. No, stop there. Instead of, a big turn. And I'm not just talking about Connor. I'm talking about the entire team. And so, but for Connor, that would be one thing, Darren, that comes to mind immediately is that part of it. Less swooping, more stops and starts, digging in and coming out with pucks. He's a competitive fella. I mean, he's competitive. He doesn't like when things don't go well, and that's what I love about him. And I've learned to really like his dry sense of humor because there's been a few mic drops on my behalf interviewing him. One of the games he rifled one. I mean, he toe dragged, he brought it back, and it was a shot that was a thing of beauty. I think it was against the Islanders. And in our interview, I said, I got to tell you, that was such a good shot, Connor. Even I couldn't have stopped that one. And he said, you wouldn't have stopped any of them. Or so, it was just one of those things. And he took off his headset and he walked away. And everybody was thinking, oh man, he's really giving it to you. I'm like, no, I like this part of it. We're going to be together for a long time. And I've enjoyed it. He's got a real quiet, stinging sense of humor, which is a compliment, in my opinion. And all the
Okay.
great ones have that for sure.
Well, let me be the devil's advocate.
Okay.
So I've been around long enough to see teenagers join this league. And in their first couple of years, we hear stories that they're a little whiny, that they pout a little too much, but they're teenagers. And I remember when I was an 18 and 19-year-old, I could have been a jerk all the time. This is where Darren pipes in and he says he's still a jerk.
I was
I'm
going to
trying to
say
figure
that,
out.
but I would
I'm trying
say
to
it
figure out
delicately.
the
So
18-year-old
how John Shannon.
Oh,
Whoa,
you have no idea what it was like.
Did you help Moses get down from the mountain?
Listen, my old pal Moses, as I told
Name
Abraham,
dropper.
yeah. So he's got to be able to, this is a tough spot to, We've put so much pressure. We as a game have put so much pressure on this
Yep.
guy. How does he manage this? And is that part of his evolution as well?
Yeah, I do believe it's part of the evolution. I think he's been surrounded by some pretty good veterans here too, and I think Luke Richardson, former head coach, was terrific for him as well. Same with the assistant coach. I mean, he got a lot of experience in Derek King and in Kevin Dean and Derek Plant. You know, I just think as a group they've been good with him, but they've also let him be himself as well. And I think, you know, you have to. Like I end up spending, you know, a lot of times this is the practice rink at Fifth Third Arena, and a lot of times it's either Connor's mom's here or his dad's here, and you end up spending a lot of time talking to them, and you know, but when you leave it, you go, he's 18 years old, or now he's 19 years old, and when he leaves the game, he doesn't go home like Nick Foligno goes home to a family and kids, or Tyler Bertuzzi goes back home and he's got some kids, little ones there, and it, you can take your mind off hockey. I mean, he lives and breathes the game of hockey, but so did Sidney Crosby the same way. A guy I grew up with and my dearest friend is Steve Yzerman. I mean, he was an 18-year-old kid too. That, you know, the same thing. Everybody's gone through it, and you live and
Right.
breathe, and you take the responsibility of it with you. I wouldn't say that he's at all. I now listen. I'm not in the locker room. I see a very composed guy answer a lot of questions about, you know, the season. Things aren't going well, and you're asking a 19-year-old to describe that. Like that's a lot. You know, that's a
That
lot.
is.
I mean, and you know, and he does his darndest too to break it down. And I've noticed that. His even in his interviews and conversation, he I'm not saying he puts a lot more thought into it, but he's a lot less cliched because he probably didn't want to say the wrong thing. I think he's more confident in saying things now this year than he was last year, and that might have been out of respect to the older players and the league itself and how great the league is. So, so all in all, I mean, I see a guy. I'm not saying growing up in front, you know, before our eyes. It's only 1 year into his NHL career, but I have seen a change in that maturity, and
Good.
I still see this kid come off the ice, and when he's not happy, he's not happy, and that's and I like that. It's not he doesn't go through the motions, you know, and just go through a line change and doesn't show emotion. No, he's sour, but when he scores and it's a great play, you can see just how excited, how exuberant he is as an individual too. So I hope that the game is still fun for all these players. You know,
Right.
I watch Lucas Reichel is a great kid. I mean, this kid is so good. Pat, one of the great Christmas stories was Pat Maroon saying, Lucas, where are you going for Christmas? He says, nowhere. I don't have it. Nobody's coming here from Germany. And he says, well, you're coming with me. He packed him into the car. It was like the Griswolds going from Chicago to St. Louis. And he brought him home to his family for Christmas. Well, I've seen that kid got scratched 15 straight games and you just want to give him a hug. You know, Philip Kurashev is a kid that I just cheer for. This kid, come on, man, get your confidence back and get going. And so for Connor, you know, he gets more opportunity for sure. But I see this kid. I don't see him getting too low, even when it was felt like it was hitting bottom for him this year.
Okay.
I still see this kid just go back and put the work boots on and then try to dig himself out of it. And that's what separates him from a lot of guys. He can dig himself out a little bit quicker.
Bedard's got a great game face. So we'll come back with more with Darren Pang on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHLShop.ca, the official online store of the National Hockey League and Canada's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics. And all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.ca, a Fanatics experience.
Wanted to bring up this Tyler Bertuzzi play. On the back door, on the power play especially, he's not relying on a tip with his stick. He's kneeling down. It can go off his shin pad, his skate. Like he's giving himself about 2.5, 3 feet to deflect that puck in. And I think we're going to see a bunch of people doing it. It's a brilliant tactic that he's adapted.
Well, in fact, he tried to set up Connor Bedard in a recent game. And I did an interview with Tyler just prior to the game against Carolina. And I said, did I see that right? Connor's picking up a little of that Tyler Bertuzzi, you know, drag your knee and lay it.
Yeah.
And he goes, he said, not as easy as it looks, is it? Because Connor didn't successfully do it. And I thought that was very, very accurate in the way he said it. Not very easy to do. Was it not the game against Vegas that it actually went off his skate? And
Yes.
I thought that maybe Vegas would challenge it as a kicked in, but it was kind of a it was kind of a directed puck off his
Deflected net,
skate,
yeah.
deflected. But it was a tough one because at first I thought it was off his stick. Then I look at it again, and he still has his leg, and he boots it up, and it went off his skate and into the
That one was
net. It
in
was
the
just one of those
air.
ones in the air, and it was a
Yeah.
hard shot by Seth Jones, I think it was. And sure enough, the last game, who goes down on one knee but Kurashev, and he scores a goal by doing the same thing. So yes, you're right, because if it goes off his shin pad, well, it's not a distinct kicking motion, so
No,
it's going to
it's
count. If it
not.
goes off his skate, it's laying on it's going to count. So yeah, I think so. That backdoor play will be not revolutionized, but I think it'll be a very popular move, and maybe Tyler gets some credit for that. It's going to be called the Burt.
The bird.
The
Say,
Burt.
you're a national broadcaster. You know more than just the Blackhawks. What do you think Rick Tocchet's going through?
As the Canucks turn the great soap opera.
Wow. Well, to lose the way they lost to Buffalo last night, they were up 2-1. It's the first time they've lost in regulation all season long after leading after two periods.
Yeah, I mean that's the pride of that team, and that's the get your foot right on their throat mentality. But right now this is it has to be as challenging a season as any coach has had, because of the different personalities, because of the media scrutiny in Vancouver. So I'm not sure. I'm not speaking for talk, but I'm wondering if he misses that seat on that big beautiful set at TNT in Atlanta, Georgia. At sometimes well, he must go back to that coach's room and go to his coaching staff and go, oh man. But you know what? That's part of coaching, and I think that's what makes Rick, he's a great person, first of all. But I don't think he's afraid to deal with, not controversy. I don't think he's afraid to deal with the hard things in life. I think he's got that ability. But at the same time, there's no way it can be a whole lot of fun. I mean, it
No.
can't be. And I know coaching. I've never coached before, and I'm not sure if I'd want to be a coach. But you can see all the different personalities that you have to deal with. I mean, I'm not just going to say it's JT and Petey. It could be anybody. It could be the way the D coach, wants the forwards to come back. It could be the way a D doesn't make a play in the O zone and the forwards sour at the D for 1 second. That's the great game of hockey, is the emotions. I mean, when I wasn't playing in the Chicago Stadium and I was backing up, I sat beside the D. And you open up the door, I had a skate lace, and it was a long skate lace. And when they said, open, you pulled the chain, you pulled the door and you open it up, and that helped the guys go in and out. And when the forwards were at my side, I listened to Denny Savard and Steve Larmer. I mean, these guys could go at it, but no coach said out loud, oh, these guys are so, this is, man, I can't handle these two guys. No, they dealt with it themselves. They hammered it out, and then they went on the ice and they played hockey for one another. And so I'm reminded sometimes that it's not always easy, and sometimes you have these battles on the bench. But this one, it seems like it's a little bit more fairly intense. But I think both the personalities are different, and that's what makes it more intense. I tell you what, I love that JT Miller. I'm not going to get into like who do I want on my team versus the other guy, but man, do I love that. The bullheadedness of him when he's on that ice, because when he's got the puck and he's on a mission, I mean, last year was a hell of a year for JT Miller, and so hopefully things get straightened out, because that was a great season last year for them, and so they've got something special in that room, and sometimes it just doesn't maybe go that way or look that way.
Now the conversation has gone to the public about possibly moving JT Miller, and that's been moved along. Do
Can
you
you
think
move
it has
one
to
and
come?
not the other? Can you move one? What about the person that stays? What if you move one? I'm just
Yeah.
going to throw this out here. You move one, and then the guy you keep
He better be good.
doesn't play well, and now the other guy goes and performs really well, and then the guy that stays gets blamed, and we know what it's like in Vancouver. And maybe you got to do a maybe you got to do
A
if you're going to make
cleanse.
a move, if you're going to make a move, maybe you got to move them both if you can. Maybe.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
I don't know.
No. Now, I do a lot of work in Vancouver, and my tune has always been, I'm not trading either of them. You know, just solve the problem, boys. Solve the problem. Easier said than done, though.
No, you're right about that. I mean, you're right. And I mean, last year there, I didn't think that Patterson, I didn't think that he played that well last year. And
Well, he would tell you he played hurt the second half of the season.
again, those are that stuff that if that's the case, then I mean, my assessment would be accurate. And he's got something that not an excuse, but he played hurt. So if that's the case, then that's the case. But I think that if both of those guys are going at their best, wow, look
Whoa.
out. You
Look
know,
out.
look
Yeah.
out. If both of them are going at their very best, look out. That's.
I do like the way Rick has handled it and almost put it back on the players, like to the media. You guys go talk to them. I enjoy that approach to it instead of protecting and sheltering the players.
I always wonder now, like a team loses, or okay, let's say a team loses 6-1 and it doesn't go well. How come the guys that are that how come the guys just aren't all available after a game?
Well, if you're, and by the way, if Lou Lamoriello's team, you are.
Well, that's the way it should be. You know, stay in your seat for 10 minutes. And if and answer the bell, and most of the time it's on a whiteboard. Three guys come out, and that's it. Hey, one guy had an assist, so he comes out. One guy had a goal, okay, he comes out. But where's the overall accountability? Like, just it's okay. Like I know if I didn't play well, I wanted to come out. It's okay. I stunk. It's my fault. Like, don't you endear yourself to people if you come out and then just answer the bell and just.
That listen, the one story I have like that is Michel Therrien was coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins,
Oh my goodness, I heard
2000,
this one.
was this the Rams?
and the Maple Leafs went in there and destroyed them, I think 8-1. I think it was a Thursday night, destroyed them 8-1. And he did his scrum with the media, and media were asking questions, and he finally said, "You know what? Go in and ask them. Go in and ask them all these questions. Don't ask me. Go ask the players." He was fired within 2 weeks.
What? Is that
So,
the one where he said, I tell you what, my defenseman's job, what did he say? My defenseman's job is to give them the, no, what was it? It was an incredible indictment on the defenseman. It was so bad. Oh my goodness.
all I do, I was there that night with the Leafs and the
Oh.
Penguins, and Dan Bylsma was behind the bench within 14 days.
Oh my goodness. That's unbelievable.
So the whole accountability thing, I think, is, you know, do we protect players too much? Probably. We protect players too much now. But at the same time, if you're trying to control the message, if you're, and lots of teams try to control the message now, Darren, then you don't want everybody out sitting at their stalls.
You know what? I'll give kudos to one guy in particular. It was a TNT game in Edmonton, and it was last year, and Carolina and Edmonton. And the first
Right.
period was
Oh,
all
Roddy.
Edmonton,
Roddy. Roddy
all
was. Oh,
Edmonton.
Roddy was great. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Joe, I think Joe Whalen was producing, and he said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "We're doing the interview."
Yeah.
And I go, I was told a long time ago, and I believe it was John Cooper that told me, because one analyst between the benches decided on his own not to interview the coach because he was behind in the game. Coach was waiting for him, and it was John Cooper, and the analyst decided he wasn't going to do the interview and didn't give the coach the opportunity to say, "No, I'm not going to do the interview." So John Cooper pulled me aside and said, "I just want to give you a heads up. Don't ever do that." And it wasn't me that did it in the first place.
Right.
But he said, "I might have a message that I want to send. I don't want to be the guy that, hey, we're down 5-1, so I'm not doing the interview. No, I want to do the interview." So I said that to Joel, and I said, "Listen, confirm it with PR, but I'm doing the interview." And he goes, and I remembered what John Cooper said to me. Maybe Rod Brind'Amour wants to say something. So I popped over there. I had to go on the ice, on the boards, because of Edmonton's situation between the benches. You're on Edmonton's side of the bench. And he went off on it. And it was one for the ages, but I give him a lot of credit. And I sent him a text afterwards. I said, thanks. I said, I mean, it was gold on our end, but it was also from his heart. How, we're on our way to getting, I think, shellacked 15-1. And I thought he said 50-1. So I just left the mic right there, and he just went. And all I could say was, under the circumstances, thanks for doing this. And he was already gone, but I give him credit for doing that. And he sent a good, that was a heck of a message that he sent to everybody, and how much he cares and how disappointed he was in the preparation of his team. So there are really good stuff that comes out of those interviews. And what I'm getting back to is sometimes the players need to talk about
Yeah.
not always the soft and cushy stuff and the thread count of the Ritz-Carlton. Sometimes it's not good. So let's hammer it out too.
What
I don't know where I get the thread. I don't know
the
why I get
thread
the
count of
thread.
the Ritz-Carlton?
Now I'm
Well,
thinking, what is it?
well, it's got to
I'm
be
not.
600. It's got to be 600 at
Got to be
least.
1600 probably, but I'm not sure why I said that. But I always think of the NHL now as the hotels have been upgraded so well, and the private jets, and everything's always so good. But
Oh.
sometimes things don't go well, and people don't realize that it's not always that way. That's kind of what I was getting to in my
There,
warped
I tell you what,
mind here.
you're getting to the point where you're talking to the players, say, when I was playing, when
Yes.
I was back in the National League,
We were at the night.
when you got called up from Indianapolis and you just spent all those nights at the Bismarck Hotel,
That's right. That's right. That's right. Right. We were at the Knights Inn in Kalamazoo, and Jimmy Rowe was my roommate, Oh my goodness. It's crazy.
God, what a business. What a
Yeah.
business. Could you ever imagine when you were drafted or when you played for your in your first pro game? I guess Darryl Sutter would have been your coach, right? Was Darryl your coach?
My first NHL game, I was recalled a couple of days after my 21st birthday, my first year pro, played in Minnesota at the Met
Yeah.
Center.
Wow.
Coach was Bob Pulford. He replaced Orville Tessier,
Right.
I think a month before or a couple of weeks before I played my first NHL game. My first roommate was Marc Bergevin.
Wow.
I had to call. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was a rotary or a push button
Button.
phone. At the that Marriott by the Webster's,
Yes.
remember
Eddie
Webster's Pizza
Webster's.
with
Eddie
Eddie
Webster.
Webster's,
Sure.
and little bar, and I tried to get a hold of my mom, and I had to call collect, and she had to accept the charges, and I had to let her know that I was playing that night in Minnesota, my first NHL game, and she was so excited, and she found a neighbor that had one of those big C-band satellite dishes,
Oh,
and
yeah.
she went and she watched my first game, so that would be my first coach. Then when I made the team full time in 87, Darryl Sutter just retired, and he was an assistant coach. Bob
Okay.
Murdoch. So Mud was our coach with Wayne Thomas
Wow.
and Darryl Sutter. And then Darryl Sutter was my head coach in Indianapolis when I was rehabbing my ACL, and we won a championship with Darryl. I'd go through a wall for Darryl Sutter. I just think, I thought very highly of him as a teammate, and then as an assistant coach, and then as a head coach, and then all those years, and I'll still get a note every once in a while. He'll be watching the game, and there's a text, and at the bottom, all it says is DS.
Yeah.
And that's, and he's watching the game. And my nickname in the NHL was Spank, and in pro hockey. So a lot of guys still call me Spank, or he might, says, "Hey, Spank, watching the game, awesome job," or something like that. Or, and then say, all he says is DS.
I know
So
we
he'll
gotta
tell me.
go. I know we gotta go, but Darryl Sutter, I love my relationship with Darryl Sutter when he was a player, and when I was a broadcaster and he was coaching the Kings, I could actually phone Darryl 10 minutes after the game, when he's sitting in his seat on the charter, and talk about anything, and he would give you 20 minutes.
Yep. People don't
Waiting for the
understand that.
players. Oh, it was magical. I have so much time and respect for Darryl Sutter. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Me too. Do we have time for one Daryl story?
Quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, real quickly. I was hurt in a game in Montreal on a Saturday night, and I wasn't playing, but I was backing up, but I broke my finger. You can see that this finger right here.
Oh,
It
yeah. Yeah.
just got shattered. So we fly back and we play Edmonton the next night. And before the game in the morning, I've got to go to the hospital. They tell me it's broken finger. I've got a splint in it. So I get to the rink, and there's an option. There's a practice, and they asked me why I wasn't at practice. I said, I was at the hospital. I got a broken finger. And they're like, can you play tonight? And I said, I went and got my blocker. We cut this finger open. I had got the splint. I said, absolutely. I'm in the small coach's room at the Chicago Stadium, and Daryl Sutter, he says, get in your stance. So I get in my stance, and I got my stick like this. Wayne Thomas is there, and Bob Murdoch's there, and it's a big game. We just tied in Montreal. Bob Mason played, and now we got the Edmonton Oilers of 1987. And Wayne Thomas is trying to tell me, you've got to play well. If you don't, he's pointing down. If you do, good. And I didn't understand what he was saying. My finger was throbbing. If I didn't play well, I was going to the minors. If I played well, I'm going to stay. Okay, I got that part. Now Daryl Sutter says, get in your stance. And he comes over and he boots me, like kicks the stick and my hand. And I go, oh, he goes, you can't play. I go, I can play. And I did end up playing the game. We end up winning the game. I end up staying, which is all good news. But it was a classic Daryl Sutter, the way he came over and just booted it. It was like it was the test of all tests right there. So love that
Probably
game.
something that Louis, probably something that Louis Sutter taught him. So,
Yeah,
all
probably. Don't kick
right.
the horse like that, though. My
Well,
goodness.
thank you,
Anyway,
man.
listen, my pleasure, and congratulations on the show. Great seeing you two together as well. Always my
You're the best,
pleasure.
buddy. And by the
Anytime you
way,
need me.
this picture right here is you and I in overtime watching on the big screen at Sportsnet,
Oh, yes, it
a
is.
Chicago Anaheim like triple overtime game, you and I
Oh,
lying on the
my
floor.
goodness. That was the
Just
great days, huh?
you're on the Wall of Fame.
Great days. Yep.
Thanks, banger.
Sportsnet bought my lake house. I loved it.
Yes.
See you guys.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League, and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear, with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
He's played a lot of fun games, Panger, in different arenas. And I didn't have time to ask him, but I was wondering what the weirdest thing he's seen thrown on the ice. Because in Edmonton last night,
Nachos.
somebody threw a package of nachos on the ice, the tray
Yeah.
of nachos. The cheese was still in there. There were still nachos in there. It was a hell of a toss to make it land flat like that. And then the Oilers scored during that play.
Listen, we can't condone that stuff, though, Darren. That can't be condoned in the National Hockey League,
No, I'm
please.
not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it was a heck of a toss to make it
What's the
land
strangest
without
thing? I
the
mean,
nachos scattering all over.
you and I have seen waffles.
Yes.
We've seen fish. Obviously, octopi.
Yeah, rats,
Rats.
hamburgers. Remember the
Oh, a
Hamburglar?
Hamburglar in Ottawa. Yeah, that's a good one. So, what about your days in Dauphin and Brandon? What did you see tossed on the ice?
Not a lot
I've
there.
seen, and obviously, we've seen tons of beer thrown on the ice.
There was a line brawl against Flin Flon one year in a preseason game where people jumped on the bleacher creatures in Dauphin. Bradley Harrison, I love you, man. He was one of the greatest. And he jumped on the ice and took a couple of the Bombers gear, like gloves and helmet. And he didn't try to hide it. He wore it in the stands as everybody's cleaning up, and then people were missing gear. So that was fun. I did not fight, by the way.
I'm shocked.
I probably wanted to, but I knew that it wasn't a good idea for that.
I've never been in a fight in my life. So,
Really?
physical fight? No, never. Never.
Wow.
No. Few verbal jousts.
And you won those hands down.
Yeah, even against their old pal Doug.
I've had a couple of those too. He's coming to Vegas next weekend.
I hear.
Yeah,
I hear.
he's.
Have we alerted the Las Vegas Police Department?
I'm trying to get him and George and Kelly in a room together and have some fun.
Doug is more excited about seeing Shania.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you've
Okay.
got the itinerary?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we got the yeah. And the Blue Jackets are there. And I don't think
Yeah.
Jill's very happy about going to the Blue Jackets. So.
Nate Bargatze, they're going to go see
Oh,
him
Nate
too.
Bargatze, is he funny or what?
Yeah, he's great. He did the NHL Awards a couple of years ago.
Did he?
Yeah, in
Oh,
Nashville.
yeah. Oh, the Nashville ones. I turned those off.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one because I was there.
Yeah, so you couldn't turn them off.
No.
All right, we
Anything for
got
me?
it. Well, you'd be better.
Okay.
Just be better, okay?
All right.
I didn't even get a chance to ask you about the Golden Knights and what is going on there.
Giving up too many goals.
Oh.
Bruce made a point of just saying lately that the goaltending hasn't been as good as it was. They've been giving up on the average of 4 goals a game during this 4-game slide. That's not going to get it done. They're
Now,
scoring three a game,
tell
so
you
the
what,
offense is there.
everybody, there's a ton of good teams going through swoons right now. And it's the post-Christmas compacted schedule. It's a tough time to play a lot of hockey right now.
Jack scored a goal on a one-timer on a 6-on-5 the other night that was a rocket, and then he missed an open net in overtime, but came
Oh, I
back
know.
and scored a filthy shootout goal. I'm going to call it right now, this weekend, or the rest of this week and this weekend, Jack's going to go off. All will be right in the world.
You're
I
calling it,
see
are you?
it. I see
Yeah.
it in his eyes.
I saw when he missed the open net, not to giggle too much about it. To see the expression on his face. Oh my goodness gracious.
Like it doesn't happen again, ever, to
Yeah.
miss an open net from that
Competitive
close.
guy. Competitive guy. All right, we gotta go.
All right. Thanks for making the time for me again today, and I love the positive feedback. It's just
Yeah.
incredible to have dialogue with you, John.
Yeah. Don't screw up.
I'll talk to you next time on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.